Good. All the time. I'm excited to come to the house of the Lord. This morning I was telling Jacinta, I said, dear, you know, we have 7 days a week and we have 24 hours a day. How much time do we give to the Lord? And we should be excited. You know, I used to hear that song, I'm so glad. I'm so glad when it said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. We have to be excited to go to the house of God. If you're not excited, then something is wrong. Because if we love the Lord, we want to come to the house of the Lord. Not just to come, but to praise Him, to worship Him. Amen. How many of you love to praise and worship the Lord? Let me see that. Oh, yes. Good, 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 good. Give yourselves a clap this morning. Come on. Give yourselves a clap. Not me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm more excited to share with you from the Word of God. Yes? And I want to continue where I left last week. But I want to, for those that are not here, and to refresh our minds, I would like to do a little highlights or give you a little highlights or recap. And also, last week I spoke a lot of things, but I never shared with you, or I shared very few scriptures. So I want to make sure that this week I share with you from the Word of God. I know you believe me, right? I know that. But I want you to listen and read also from the Word of God. My excuse is, my brother, I didn't give you the text, but I know you're so smart. You can do wonders behind the computer. Amen? I can't. Praise the Lord. Now, first of all, I'm not a good drawer. My brother always reminds me. I have other talents, but of drawing, I don't have. Okay? So I'm going to, it's not wrong. It's not bad to make a few circles. So first of all, don't put up that list yet. Sorry. Thank you so much. I just want you to put up this verse for me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Just put that up for me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Okay? If you want to open your Bible, you can open your Bible. If you want to read there, it's okay. It's the same. But it is very important what I want to say to us this morning. Why I say us, me included. Because, why it's important? Because God has given us, you remember Jesus gave us a commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we have to be educated. When we go to somebody, we need to share with them the exact things that are in the Bible. If we do not know what you're talking about, how can we go and speak to someone and explain to them the gospel so that they can give their hearts to the Lord? So this morning, what I'm going to show to us is how, when we go to people, when we share, how we can share the gospel with them, and there are certain scriptures that we need to let them know about. Amen? So first of all, the Lord formed man out of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So it's God who created us. Amen? Now, when God created man, he created man with body. This is the body. He created us with a soul, I put SL, soul, and then with a spirit. Right? Okay. He created us with body, soul, and spirit. And what God did, he did a perfect job. Because when he created man without sin. Perfect man. Perfect body, perfect soul, spirit. Now, what happened? Also, we need to realize, before I go to what happened, also we need to realize that God created us in his image, in his likeness. It is very important for us to understand. He created us in his image. You remember the last week I told you, he doesn't look like God. See, if you look at, watch ourselves in the mirror, we do not look like God. But what is being said here is that the image of God, it means that we have the essential qualities, the personalities, the abilities. We can make choices. Now, we are unique. God created us to be unique. God created us to be human beings. He created other beings. He created the animals, the birds, the bees, all the other stuffs, but he created us as top. We are the only one who have a will. We are the only one who can think. We can make choices. The animals cannot do it. They can do it in their own little way, but we are superior. So we need to understand that we are not ordinary beings. We are human beings created by God under the image of God. Amen? So let's keep that into mind. So here we are, perfect. Perfect, right? Now, let me put something here. It really, God is bigger than man, but because the board is small, so I have to do it like this. Okay, we have God, the Godhead, God. We have here, All right, let's say we have the Godhead here. God is a triune God, right? God is God, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Excuse me, my hands cannot write properly because of my balance and my problem, but it's no problem. Okay, now God created a perfect man. Now, when God created man, God had communion with man, right? The Bible tells us, if you read further in the book of Genesis, God had communion with man. The Bible says God would come down. God would come down and God would have communion with man. God would talk with man. God would, you know, he's happy with his creation. God is happy with us. Right? Is God not happy with you? You're here today. God is happy with you. So God was extra happy with his creation. And he created us in a perfect way. Now, what happened? Something happened. Now, look at this. I'm going to put here, this is the devil, right? I'm putting it at the bottom. I don't like to talk about him, but I have to mention his name this morning because I want us to know who he is and what he is doing to us. Okay? All right, good. So I put him here at the bottom. Okay? There is God. There is the devil. All right. What happened to man? Remember, God created a perfect man, body, soul, and spirit. Now, sin came in. Man, this guy here, he came and infiltrated the body. Eve saw the apple, right? But the apple was not really the sin. The sin was she is not supposed to eat of the tree of the fruit of life. The sin is disobedience, because God wanted them to be obedient and not disobedient. Disobedient to God is a sin. So they committed the sin of disobedience. Now, when they committed the sin of disobedience, everything has to go through the soul, because it goes to the body, it goes to the soul, it goes to the soul. You see, there's my drawing again. It goes to the soul, and then when we sin, what happened there? What does sin do to a man? Right? The devil tempted man. Man sinned. What does sin do to a man? So what happened to Adam? Right? Adam sinned. And when we sin, what happens to us? You remember often I would tell you that sin does something. What does it do? Sin separates man from God. Amen? Sin separates man from God. So let's read Isaiah. Brother, if you can put it up for me. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Let's put that up on the screen. Sorry about my drawing. Okay. Let me Okay, have it there? Okay. And behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ears heavy that he cannot hear. Go further. One further. But your iniquities, that is your sins, when we sin, look what happens. But your iniquity, when we sin, it separates you from God. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. So what happened there? When Adam sinned, he was separated from God. Oops. I'm a furniture maker. That's just my fault. I'm supposed to make something so that they can sit properly. Okay, so we see here, what happened here? We were separated from God. This man was separated from God because sin separates us from God. Now, the second thing, what sin does, we can look at Romans 6:23. All of us know that. We have learned that at Sunday school. Romans 6:23. We used to sing it. You know, therefore, 6:23, the wages of sin, let me read it, then you can see it on top there. The Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Let's hold that part, the wages of sin, so that now, when we sin, we are separated from God, right? Now, the wages of sin is death. What happens? The Bible is not speaking about the death of the body. The body is speaking about the death of a spiritual death. That's what the Bible is speaking about, a spiritual death. Now, when we sin, look what happens.
we go further, okay? Look what happens now. This is very important. Look what happens now. This is the condition of man when man sinned. Right? Now, what happens is that man had to produce. Man produced. Adam got children. His children got children. You know, his grandchildren, they got children. So, generations after generations, people were being born. And so, this nature, this sinful nature, the sinful man is being produced along the way. So this goes further from generation to generation to generation. It goes on. That's why the Bible says, Psalms 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin my mother conceived me." That's Psalms 51:5. Psalms 51 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." That means I was born in sin. Even in my mother's womb, I was in sin. Because of this, this is being transferred. Every time a child is born, this is in this state that child is born. That's why the Roman Catholics, they baptize children. But that's not necessary, because a child, if you look carefully, a child cannot think, you don't have no accountability, cannot make decisions. So God would not send this child to hell. No. When that child reaches of age, then can able to think and make decisions, then that child will be baptized in a normal way. Amen? What we do is that we offer children up to the Lord, not baptize them. So the concept of baptizing because they are born in sin is not okay. That's not what the Bible has in mind, or what we think about it. Okay. Now we see that this has been passed on, and this is very important for us to let people know, because people want to know, how can we be born in sin? Why? And we can show them certain scriptures like Psalms 51:5, yeah? And then it goes on further. It goes on further. "For all have sinned." Romans 3:23. We can go there. It's a very simple verse. We can tell people, "For all have sinned." Because of this, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Now, that's why when we are born in sin, and the whole world is infested with sinners. And the Bible tells us, that's why the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Amen? All have sinned. Now, this is the state of man from generation to generations. This is the state of man. This was the state of man, and this is the state of man. Some men, till now, they are like this. They're operating. This is that they're operating here and here. This, they're operating here, right? Let me draw back Satan there, okay? They're listening to Satan because they have no connection now with God. There were very little connections with God because God has to speak sometimes. They have to know certain things. It's like when you're in your home, right? You got a quarrel with somebody, maybe with your son or your daughter or your wife. Come on, don't be holy in me this morning. So sometimes we get a little quarrel and they don't speak to each other. Maybe for a couple of hours. But the important things, we ask them. For example, if they're in danger, we will say, "Hey man, you need to keep away from this because there is danger there. So God was still having some communication, but not the intimate communication that he had with them before they were in this state. Remember, God used to come down in the garden, and God used to talk with them and have communion with them. But that was lost, but still there were a little bit of communication because God needed to direct them in certain areas. So you have, and also for their sins, because God cannot stand sin, because of their sin, they used to make sacrifice. You have to, because God requires a sacrifice for sin. Every sin requires a sacrifice. I don't know, some people say that for every sin, every time, because people sin every hour, before, and they used to sin, and people used to say, well, maybe they have to do sacrifices every day. That's, how can we kill bulls and kill sheep and goat every day? But in Leviticus, it tells us, Leviticus 16:34, it says, this is to be a lasting ordinance. Atonement is being made once a year. Let's hold it there. I'm not going to go further. So once a year, they would make atonement for their sins, right? So in this state. Now, let's put this now. Let's go further. I'm going to go further today, deeper into other things. What happened with us when we are in this state? Something happens. Something happens to us now, right? Now that man is in this state, God still loves us. Remember that. If I get a fight with my children, if I get a fight with my wife, I still love them. I will still do my best for them. There is where John 3:16 comes in. John 3:16. All of us know that verse, right? Right? All of us know it. John 3:16. Everybody knows. We used to sing it in Sunday school also. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So despite of the state in which we are in now, we were in now, God still loved us, right? God still loved us. Look at the verse. For God so loved the world. Let's use the word love. Despite of our sin, despite of our iniquities, despite of our disobedience and everything, he still loved us. And also, remember I told you, sacrifices were being made for sin. Blood sacrifices were being made for the atonement of sin. I said that, right? Now, what God made it simpler for us. God made it so simple that he said, listen, I love you, man. I care for you. I don't want you to go and slaughter sheep and goats every year or other people, or do all these kind of things. I'm going to make it easier for you because I love you and I'm so full of grace. And this is who God is. He's loving, full of grace, kind. So he said, he loved the world that he gave. He gave. You see, and that's where giving comes into play. That's why, we have the likeness of God. That's one of the things that we should adopt. Giving. When we love, if I love my wife, I will give her the best. If I love my children, I will give them the best. If I love you, I will give you the best. Because I love you. No matter of all the little problems and all the things that comes in between, I still love you. So I'm going to give you the best. So God gave his best. He gave people his only begotten, his only son, Jesus, to die. one sacrifice. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know? And the Bible says in Peter, 1 Peter 2:24. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He bore our sins. Yeah. All right. Before we go there, let me wait. Wait for a while. Wait for a while. Wait for a while. Let me finish this off. Now John 3:16 comes into play. Are you following me? John 3:16 comes into play right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe it, you and I, whosoever, you can be the worst sinner, you can be a murderer, a thief, whatever, God still loves you. He sent his only begotten son. He sent Jesus. So what happened when he sent Jesus? He sent Jesus, right? When he sent Jesus, what happens? The Bible says, if we confess our sins. Let's look at John 1:9. John, that text you can put up. 1 John 1:9. But before he brings that up, let me just explain something else to you. Look what happens. In order for this person to know about John 3:16, somebody has to tell this person, right? That's where you and I come in. Somebody has to tell that person. So that's where the Great Commission comes into play. We go and we speak to the body, right? Because the ears have to listen. We go, we speak to the body. The ears listen, the soul processes everything. And that's an answer to your question. Here's where the heart is also. Because some people say the heart is over here. But I'm going to show you just now why I'm saying this. The heart is there. So when you hear the gospel with your body, your ears, your senses, you process it here. It's your mind, you think about it. Hey, what this man is saying makes sense. I'm a sinner, you know, because I forgot to tell you that you have to believe also. That whosoever believes, I forgot that part. You have to believe also. So when you hear, you process what you hear, and you believe, look what happens. When you hear, let me hold this for us. We hear it. Our soul processes it. What happens? He comes here. When we confess, now is the other part. Now when we hear, it comes, we process, we believe. What do we do? When we talk to a person and we tell them, we share the gospel with them, right? We share the word of God with them. What happens? What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to confess their sins because they're sinners. They're born in sin. Their job is to confess their sin because you believe, when you believe that Jesus died on the cross, you believe John 3:16, you believe, what you do is you confess. The person has to confess. And there we go to 1 John 1:9. Go to 1 John 1:9. Yeah, you have it there. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So you see what happens there now? When we hear, we believe. We confess, we become clean, right? Because what the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So now, here, we become righteous. That's why I always say that when we accept Christ, we become righteous. Amen? We become righteous in an instant when we confess our sins with all our heart, with our heart. We believe that He died for us and that He can cleanse us, wash us. He will come in, He will clean us up, and He will make us righteous. So what happens now? We have communion with God. Once again. Right? Now we have now communion with God once again like before. Now there is a scripture that can back that up. Let's look to 1 Peter. I'll give you some time, my brother. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that's the cross, right? That we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, right? By whose stripes we are healed. Let's go a little further. Let's go further. Okay. Or let's go, let's check Peter 3, 1 Peter 3:18. Let's go by Peter 3:18. Let's go by Peter 3. I think I got it a little bit wrong here. But I want you to know and to understand and to see and to grab what I'm really saying. Now we become righteous. Yeah. Okay. For Christ also suffered once for our sins, right? One sacrifice for all the sins of the world, just and for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. So we not only become righteous, but the Spirit becomes alive again. Amen? The Spirit becomes alive. So now we are righteous. We have a Spirit that is alive. And we can communicate with God once again. So this is the state when God created man. God created man like this. This is how we're supposed to live. Righteous, with a live spirit, and have communication with God. So that is the way we should be living today. Are you living like this? Are you righteous? We can say without any doubt, yes, I am righteous. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not righteous. Don't let them come and tell you that, okay, you are so, and you are so, and you are so. Stand up and watch them in their face and say, listen to me, man, because I have accepted Christ. I am righteous because the Word of God says I am righteous. And I'm going to show you how we can know when we are righteous. Okay? So now we confess our sins. The Spirit comes into our spirit. Make us our spirit alive, and then there are other verses like when John the Baptist saw Jesus. You remember, from a distance, he said, "Oh, look, the Lamb of God, that came to sacrifice His life." So all that is proof that He really gave His life. Yeah, John saw Him coming. We can see that in John 1:29. On the next day, Jesus saw Him coming towards Him. "Look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I dealt with that already. And God 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us God made the one who did not know sin, Jesus. This is good for us to understand and to know, to realize. Look, how can we believe in someone that is not righteous and holy and without sin? You know, that's what makes us Christianity, that's what makes Christianity so great. Because if we look at the lives of other prophets, so-called prophets in other religion, it's a disgrace. When, you know, the Muslims, they're trying to dominate the world today. I have nothing against them, only what they're saying and what their book writes. That's what I'm against. But they are loving people. God loves them too, and we should love them. But the scripture tells us that a man like that, who would have so many wives, who would go with little, you know, he went with a little child of 8 years, huh? Of more. Yeah. How can we believe, or how can people believe in such nonsense? Here is proof in the Bible. Huh? Here is proof that God, someone who knew no sin, when Jesus came, he came with just like Adam. He came with no sin. And I believe that when animals, they did not sin, right? That's why their sacrifice and their blood were being shed, because they are sinless. That's why God, Jesus came. He was without sin, and he died for us, so that we can become righteous, so that we can have communication with God again. He built, Jesus built that bridge again between God and man, between man and God. So, isn't that wonderful? People need to understand these things. They need to know. It is important. If we have to share the gospel, it is so important for us, for them to understand. Because, look, we can be proud to say that our Lord came and died for us and that he had no sin. You know, they try to paint pictures. They try to do all kinds of things, but they cannot prove anything. What the Bible says is true. He was without sin. He was without spot. He was without blemish. And he died for us. Amen? Now we are in a good state again. Right? We are correct. We cannot stay here. If everything goes well with you, you want to look for improvements, right? Or you want to maintain. Let's say if you have a brand new car. It's far from this, right? Let's say if you have a brand new car. What are you going to do with it? You're going to wash it nice. You're going to clean it up. You're going to drive it. You don't want to lend it out. You know, you're going to take good care of it. So when we are like this, we need to take care of ourselves. And the Bible teaches us. Now, when you buy a car, when you buy a washing machine or whatever, what do you get? You got a manual, right? Along with it. And that manual shows you how to do certain things. Whenever I know I didn't marry 200 people, but maybe 6 or 7. But those people, but those people that I got married and I led them into marriage, I would always, always, always tell them that the Bible is a manual for them. Not only for the marriage, but for the Christian life. So we need to maintain this. First, we have the manual, but we're going to talk more about that because the time is going. My clock is ticking already. It's making noise. So let me finish. Let me try to finish this off. Maybe after next week or next 2 weeks, I will go further with it. Now we are in this situation. Everything is okay. remember, there's one person still around. Who is he? Huh? Right. He's here. That sly person, evil person. He's evil. He's still there. You remember, he was there in the beginning also. He's the one that caused all the problem, right? He tempted. So he's still here. What is he doing? He's bombarding the soul, the body, with all kind of stuffs. Doubts, fear, sin. You know, he wants us to know that, hey, listen, what you're doing is nonsense. God is not there. Don't worry with that. Do something else. Just like he told Eve, you can eat of the fruit. It's okay. Nothing is wrong with that. God would not be angry with you. So he's going to come with all the stuff and all the evil stuff to you, and he's going to come to the body, or we can say the flesh. And there's where our brother last week, he gave us a very important verse. But before I go to that verse, let me tell you about this guy a little, what the Bible has to say about it and how we have to be careful. Look at Peter 5:8. Put up Peter 5:8 for me, my friend. Oh, you're doing a fantastic job. You're doing a good job, my brother. God bless you. 1 Peter 5:8. Let me see if I got it right.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to be finishing in about 5 minutes. Thank you. Yeah. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So what is he doing? He's going around, and he's working overtime, and he's planning what to do with you. He has plans for you. Just like how God has plans for you, Satan also has plans. So he's going around, and he's looking for methods and ways to see how he can devour. Or he can trick you. You understand? He wants you to go back in the same dead state. That's his main aim, to get you back into the old man, into the old state, the old system. He wants to get you back so that you can listen to him. You can listen to him. So the Bible is warning us. He said, be vigilant. Don't be nonchalant. Okay, I'm here. I'm righteous. Okay, so I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read the word. I'm just going to come to church. That's why it's so important that when we have prayer meetings on Tuesday, because I believe in prayer. Prayer connects us to God. We need connection from God. We need to be connected. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for the service. I felt so in attack last week, you know, that Jacinta had to go and pray for me. But we fasted and we prayed and we said, I said, Lord, this church, it has to hear the true word of God. Chris is the leader. Fritz is the leader. He's the leader. But I'm here. We're here to help him. All of you, you and I, are here to help him to see the church grow. And to grow, not only in numbers, but spiritually. Because God wants us not to stay like this. He wants us to grow. When Christ, who lives in us, remember the heart. That's why we mustn't forget. Before I go further, let me just throw this in. When we ask people, when people confess their sins, God, they receive Christ's righteousness. What do we ask them? What is our prayer? One part of the prayer is, Lord, come into my heart. Come into my heart. come into my heart. So it's so important that they ask God. Okay, I'm finished with that. Now, the second thing that God is warning us about is that he's telling us of who we are dealing with, this guy here, this ugly guy. Who we are dealing with. Look at Ephesians 6:12. I love Ephesians 6. We'll continue. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Yes. For we wrestle not, or we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts, like brother, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So these guys are not, the devil is not by himself alone. He has his workers with him, his demons. So they are planning day and night. They're forming schemes, they have power. They have power. I'm not giving him the glory. They have some power. They can do things. Because the Bible says, it says spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And they're all over. They're all over. Sometimes that's why when we pray, we have to pray warfare prayer. Because the angels will come and they would, in the heavenlies, they would be there fighting for us, seeing that our prayers go to God. Amen? So, we are fighting against this guy here. And Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Also, I just want to throw in this. Look how smart the devil is. And this happens in our home. And this is his plan for you, your children, or your loved ones. When you have he likes to see people quarrel with each other. Right? When we have problems at home, what can happen? We have a tendency of arguing, you know, fighting with our mouths. We don't hit each other. But you know, you talk, you know, you say words. This is what the devil wants. When we curse each other, Christians don't do it, some. But when we say things, hurtful things to each other, that's what he wants. And that's what it means there. I'm not fighting against my son. I'm not fighting against my wife. I'm not fighting against my cousin or whoever, or my brother or sister in the church. I'm fighting. I must realize that I'm fighting against the enemy. It's the enemy that's behind all of this. And we need to understand that it's not us. So why are we fighting with each other? What we have to do is stop fighting, stop all the bickering, stop all the cursing, stop all the things, and we say, we go and we fight with him. Because he's the one who is instigating. He's the one that's behind everything. So that's why we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Don't fight against each other also. That's what I want to throw in. It makes sense. Don't fight against each other. Fight against him, because he is the problem. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now look what happens here. Look what happens here. And I'm going to close with this one. And then we're going to go further. I want to speak about wisdom and other stuff. But we want to close off here now. There is, because the enemy is here, and he comes with all his, you know, there are a lot of scriptures that says what the enemy comes with. He comes with temptations of sin. If with your eyes you would see a beautiful woman and you would lust after her, or maybe you would see food and you would want to eat too much. Overeating is also a sin, eh? And then all kind of other things, enticing things. So that's what he does. He comes with all, and he comes to the flesh. Now look, that's what my brother spoke about last week. He said, in Galatians 5:16, we're going to close with that note, and we're going to go forward another time. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, he's operating there, but he cannot come here. No, he cannot. That's why the devil cannot read your mind. Only God can read your mind. He can place things there, but he cannot read your mind. So be careful what you say and what you do, because he acts on that. He cannot read your mind. Only God knows what's going on. Even God wouldn't give me the gift of reading your mind, because it's not fair. I can hear what, I can know what's inside of you. He can give me discerning by you speaking. What you speak comes out of the heart, so I know what's going on with you. So whenever someone comes to you and tells you, I know what's going on inside of you. No. Only Jesus did that when he was on the earth. Amen? So, what happens? Because he comes here, he attacks the flesh, so there is a constant war. There is a constant war. Because the Spirit rejects sin. The flesh likes it, it attracts, you like. But the Spirit rejects it. No, first, I'm sorry, I have to close up because the time is gone. So, I will continue another time. But what I would like to say this morning, let us walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because there's a war, our soul is in between. And our soul, where the heart is. That's why it's very important. The heart. Even the unsaved, you know, I want to finish off with this too. The heart is where your conscience is. And you know the unsaved. Why I'm saying that the heart is around this area, the soul area, is because even the unsaved, they have heart. Not a physical heart, but they have heart. That's why I have a brother who is not a Christian. But his heart is good. He would leave his room and he would let you sleep there. He would cook for you. He would take you from the streets. Because he has a good heart. That's why when people say to each other, hey man, what kind of guy have you? Have a heart. So the unsaved have a heart. But what can happen? When you receive Christ, Christ changes your heart. That's why this morning we spoke about David. David sinned. And his heart was contaminated. And in Psalms 51, it says, Lord, I confess my sins. I confess it. And I ask you to come and clean my heart. Renew my heart. Renew my spirit. You know, clean me up. Clean my heart. So God, we can ask God to clean up. When we commit sin or whatever, we can ask God to forgive us and he cleans us up. So, I want to close with that today. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Oh man, I wish if I had a couple of hours, but we have to go next time. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a commandment, oh God, a commandment to go out into all the world and to share the gospel with people. Father, help us this morning that what we have received, that we will take it, oh God, and that we will go forth and we will share it so that people can become Christians. They can become saved. They can become born again. They can become washed in the blood. They can become righteous. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you this morning that you are in control and that you are here with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. Amen.
Thank you.